something for the weekend. It is Ireland's Classic Hits. I've got two very nervous members of Bewitched on the line, Sinead O'Carroll and Adele Lynch. Good morning. How are we?
Oh, well, how are you? Apparently you're about to let out some of our secrets, so I am literally very nervous in here right now.
Yeah, because Adele just said to me, hang on a second, Trina Mara, hang on, this name rings a bell to me. It certainly does, Adele, because I was one of your dancing students back in the day in the 1990s.
Where isn't that crazy? Now tell me, was I a good teacher? Do you remember that, like, fondly or not?
Well, I still can't dance, but that's not your fault at all. Completely my fault.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, no, way back in the 1990s, you're probably only a teenager yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and you used to have your hair. Do you remember those little kind of, you had your hair in like little buns on your head? I don't know what you called them.
Like probably about 10 of them at the time, was it?
Oh, you were the coolest thing ever.
Did you hear that, people? She was cool at some point in her life, okay?
I know.
You know what, Trina? Like at that point when we were in Diggs Lane, honestly, we thought we were going to be like TLC. And then out we came with C'est La Vie. It was like, where did that come from?
Well,
like,
come here. At least you're on Top of the Pops. We thought we were going to be TLC, but we weren't doing any gigs or weren't even singing. We just thought we'd look like, we'd try and look like girl bands, even though we weren't even in a girl band. That was the 90s. I was
only talking about
that on the show the other day, how everybody wanted to look like All Saints kind of back in the day, didn't they?
When we were exactly the same. I used to look at All Saints in awe, just going, oh gosh, can we have a bit of their styling? Like, I mean, I loved our styling when we got to Weatherman in particular, when it was the leather and the denim, but some of it at the beginning, like with C'est La Vie, it was like, we literally have no style. Can someone help us here?
I know.
But Sinead, did you have to just go along with it?
There back when I was doing Dances with the Stars, and I think you said that to me about Diggs Lane, didn't you? I remember us talking about that.
Yeah, because I didn't really know you, Sinead, very well, because you would have been coming and going, but the girls, the twins, Stephanie would have been doing the I think they were charging us €2 for a class or something, like, or £2.
Oh, hilarious.
They
were rip-off
merchants. I know.
Now, if you're on here to, like, you know, kind of dig a hole for me and tell all my secrets, now I'm just going to leave.
I've plenty that I'll ask you about off air, about boyfriends and everything. I won't land you in it. Don't you be worried about it. But come here to me.
Ask. I love it. Ask.
You're doing a podcast, and so many people are doing podcasts now. And I guess... a lot of people who would have never even thought about doing a podcast before, lockdown has changed their mind about it. So tell me about this one that you're doing and why you've started to do it.
Yeah, you're so right. So many people are doing podcasts, actually. I think in January, the realization, I think, for us is that we mightn't gig for a long while. Again, I think we let the first part of the lockdown kind of go, and we weren't too worried about it, but the realization, okay, we're not going to get to see each other. We were really missing each other, just hanging out, and we can talk and talk forever. A combination of what was going on in the world and affecting, you know, people that are close to us. For example, I suppose people losing their jobs, you know, having the rug been pulled from underneath you, which we've kind of experienced, loss of identity, financial loss, you know, relationships breaking down and all that kind of stuff. And we were kind of thinking, wow, we've all kind of had an experience in that kind of area. And it was almost...
in that area, we've all had an experience. We've literally covered probably every experience ever, haven't we?
I know. Yeah. And it was almost like, okay, we've been through it once and we're still standing. So it was almost like we kind of felt we just wanted to share, you know, that, and just have an excuse to get on the phone every Friday and do a podcast and talk to each other. And
it all sounds very gloomy, actually, but it all sounds quite gloomy like that, doesn't it? But actually, we managed to have a laugh and kind of see the funny side of tough things, even, because at the time, you can drown in all that stuff, and then when you can look back and laugh, you know, you're truly healed, don't you?
I guess this podcast is called Starting Over, and I guess throughout the years when you're doing media interviews, there's a certain amount that you hold back, that you don't let people in on, and you pretend almost to have this absolutely perfect life, and life is so great, and money's not a problem, and relationships are great. Mm-hmm. But everybody has these problems, and sometimes it's hard to kind of talk about that, but you don't mind now sharing all these things. You're not going to regret this in a year's time and go, oh God, why did I do that podcast? Why did I tell everything about my life?
No, because we're oversharers anyway. It's just that we never have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, totally. Between all of us, like it was very safe for us to do it with each other, because that, you know, we are each other's kind of people. So there is an element of kind of going, oh, we're just having a conversation ourselves. But then you kind of go, oh, actually, it is going out to the world.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's a lot you know, like you say, you do interviews and you don't kind of delve into anything because you don't have the opportunity. It's normally for Bewitched work or promoting stuff or something like that. So it's very different for us, you know, to do this. But it just felt right and it just feels natural.
When you point out like that people, you know, they don't see anything behind all the glossy stuff, do they? And everything is perfect in your relationships and your life is perfect. And it's interesting when you point that out because I think that kind of marketing just puts so much pressure on whether it's young girls or just human beings in general when you see it, because I think you think your life is miserable and everybody else is somehow perfect. And it's just not the case. Like, we are all human. And I think it was just important for us to share that with people, that even when it is glossy, that there is the real stuff going on in the background, like there's real women behind the denim and the bubblegum, you know?
Yeah. Do you know what's funny as well? Yeah. As an interviewer, I would have always loved to talk to people about that side of it. But we were always stopped as well, because there was always a PR person was listening in, or please don't ask them about this, don't ask them about that. Mm-hmm. I've even had, not yourselves now, but I've had lots of people over the years where you've been asked for a list of your questions before you even attempt to talk to them. And at that point, you're like, well, that's not a conversation. That's a list of questions. Do you know, and it's not really going to go anywhere. So, I mean, in this, you're talking about a marriage breakdown, for example.
Yeah, there's a couple of them in there.
A couple. So who's had a marriage breakdown in the band?
Well, I have, speaking for myself, Adele.
And how long ago was that, Adele? And do you go into that in the podcast, or do you still feel a little bit raw about the whole thing?
No, I don't feel raw about it now. And yeah, we do go into it in quite detail, because that is a huge thing in life. And I've got to say, it literally tore my world apart. And I know Sinead is saying, you know, like a moment ago said, like, oh, you know, we tell all these stories, but we're still standing. And I do remember a point where I physically couldn't stand. And there was a number of years that it actually took me to get back on my feet and actually stand again. So obviously came out the other side, but that was a very, very long, hard struggle. And the way I describe that is just, it was almost like dragging my face along the ground constantly every day for years. That's actually how I felt. It was horrendous. Really bad time.
You never ever think that you're going to, you see other people like that, you never think that your marriage is going to fail. Sure you don't?
No. I mean, I really didn't. And the other thing, I mean, I was, you know, that proper Catholic. I was in marriage for the long haul and I was, you know, till death do us part. And I absolutely meant that. So I held on so tightly and I held on until almost my very last breath. And then that's when I had to give in the end. I thought, I cannot give my life to this, actually, like, the end of my life to this. And that's where I came to, really. I really did sort of, I think I took till death to us part a little too far.
And was there, yeah, there children crazy at that point as well, Adele?
Yes, I have three children, yeah, for the same man. We get on fine now, but it took a long time to pull that back. It took a long, long time for us to appreciate and get on from a different perspective and from a different position. But yeah, the three kids are, they're fine and they're brilliant and they're actually incredible. They're 9, 10 and 13 now, so thank God. And
it's a huge thing financially as well when a marriage breaks down, because you have to have two houses. You have to, you know, and logistically with the children as well, you know, if they're going to see the other parent, the stress must be enormous.
Massive. Honestly, it really was huge, I have to say. And like you said, that whole financial thing about just swapping your financial position then and splitting it in two. Not long before that, the Celtic Tiger had kind of died and pretty much ripped my head off at that point anyway. So we were already financially in ruin. There was a lot of pressure on at that point, I have to say. And it was that was definitely the biggest struggle and the toughest time in my life for sure. Like,
do people not think though, oh, Adele Lynch, she's in Bewitched, her brother is Shane from Boyzone, she's absolutely minted and there's never going to be a financial problem there? People must think that.
Definitely. Yeah. Sure, they think the second they see you on the telly, they think you have millions in the bank. And you've not earned your first paycheck from the record company, you know that, right?
I
remember before even we were in Bewitched, I remember people coming in to me when I worked in Marathon Sports and saying, did your brother get you this job? And it was like, what? Did my brother get me the job in the runner shop? Like, no, sorry, what? Why?
In fairness, Adele, a job in Marathon Sports back in the 90s was the coolest job you could ever have.
Very cool.
It was. I loved my job there.
They probably thought, because of Shane, obviously Shane's made a few quid over the years with Boyzone, that he could just help you out. It's not really how families work, really.
Not really. No, I mean, we did actually make our way in through a different door than Shane, funny enough. You would kind of think he sort of put us on the map and got us everything we had, but I refused at the time. I was like, no, I will stand on my own two feet and I will find my way into this industry. And I was quite stubborn about it. And when I look back, if I was to see someone in my position, I would say, no, open every door that somebody else can open for you and just walk through it if you can, like, because there's no need to stand back and be so stubborn and so proud. It's like, let someone else open the door for you if they can, you know.
Yeah. And Sinead, for yourself, would you have invested, were you good with your money, the money that you made from Bewitched, or did you make some silly decisions, or was it the Celtic Tiger?
I remember the first kind of chunk of money we got, we were in America, and literally I bought my first apartment in Sandymount, and that was the first thing I did. Well, I think I bought a Prada jacket. Do you remember, Adele, we were in New York and I bought this baby blue Prada jacket.
Yeah,
and it was
blue.
Something like $600 or something at the time. And the girls were just like, I can't believe you spent that much money. No, because we hadn't spent a penny. Like, we'd been working for about a year and a half and hadn't actually splashed out at all.
We used to be told to spend our money, didn't we? We were like, will you stop holding onto your penny so tight and just spend
it? I know, it was so funny. But then myself and Adele kind of stayed in Ireland. That's where we were. And Lindsay and Kiwi lived in London. So myself and Adele invested in property. Like, we had a house together and we kind of did stuff individually. And like that, I think one of the podcasts about the financial loss. And at that time, you know, I was married. So everything that I was doing was kind of all in my own name. And I think I speak in the podcast at that particular time. I think I was pregnant on my second child when everything was really, really bad. The lowest point was really, really dark for me. It was just like, how can I just felt like there was no way out. I felt I couldn't get out. Mm. Everything was kind of chopped in half. And you have these really dark thoughts because I felt the responsibility of having all that on my shoulders was just really immense. It was just really difficult. No matter which way you kind of looked at the situation, you know, 10 years later, you're still in this, you know, you're still in a financial situation where your credit rating is bad and do you know what I mean? You're not getting break. And,
years,
you know,
later.
We were raising, I had been married then, we were raising two kids in an apartment, and you kind of just, it's really hard. But then, you know, the whole country was like that at the time, and there was always somebody else that was going to be worse off. And that's the only way you can actually think about it, those situations, when I think when you're in them, just a waiting game, really.
When you're successful, though, you know, as a pop star and you become very well known, is it almost like a poison chalice, though? Because when it does go wrong or your record label drops you, it's not like you can go and get your job back in Marathon Sports or wherever it might be down in Aldi on the checkout. Yeah. People just don't do. Because even during lockdown, I know I saw a lot of comedians from the UK who were obviously hadn't gigged in a long time. We're talking about really high profile people here, and they were applying for jobs as delivery drivers and everything. But not really being taken seriously because people are going, oh, sure, he's too famous, you know, that way. So I guess you probably felt, you know, when there was no income coming in, you can't really get a normal, inverted commas,
it's
job.
Really hard. I mean, it is really hard. And I remember actually, you know, a few years back getting a job in a coffee shop. And there was a couple of reasons. It wasn't necessarily a financial one for me. It was actually a social one, because I found myself when I had my marriage breakdown, et cetera, I really did crawl back into myself, and I wasn't very confident socially. And I'm very good. I could easily be a hermit, I think. And I don't like that about myself. So I got a job in a coffee shop here where I live now. And just literally, so I had to speak to people every day just to get myself back out of my shell, because I hated it. And it was the best thing I ever did. But now sometimes people did come into the shop and, you know, they would go, you really look like you want to be witched. And I'd be like, and they were like, are you her? And I was like, yeah. And then they'd like laugh their heads off and go, you are hilarious. You know,
and then you said, I fight like me da. And then the secret was out.
And then you see them kind of Googling on their laptops or whatever. And I remember one young fella came in and he said to me, he was like, I really, really want you to tell me no to this question, because I will cry right now if you tell me yes. Are you Adele from Bewitched or whatever? And I was like, yep. And he was just like, I'm devastated. What are you doing in a coffee shop? Like, I am devastated. Mm. Your life went to ruin, clearly. I was like, sorry to burst your bubble.
Kick you when you're down. People are great, aren't they?
I know. Do you know what? I did something similar to that as well. I remember I just thought it was getting married, and like that, it wasn't, at the time it wasn't really kind of financial, it hadn't got that bad, but it was a way of kind of just getting out and doing something with my
thing,
day. And I worked in a hair salon. I was receptionist in the hair salon in the Four Seasons at the time, I went in to cover somebody for 2 weeks, and I was there for 8 months. But I loved it, because it was still that routine of just getting up and getting out and meeting people and, you know, having interactions, I guess. So you kind of just put that to the side, you know.
Did people treat the pair of you completely differently when you were in the band, or even now? Like, say, even for compare your life now to what it was like before Bewitched. Did people's attitudes kind of change towards you?
Definitely.
Well, as in, like, just from like general, like
from not being in the band people. And then suddenly being in the band. Yeah,
from being a norm. Say for example, from Adele teaching me dancing in Diggs Lane, and then she was a pop star on Top of the Pops. Did people you even knew, were they kind of a bit weird with you? Because I always wonder, what is it like to be famous? I always kind of think everybody wants to be famous, but what is it actually like?
Well, what's funny, Trina, I think, I feel like most people in Diggs Lane behave the same way, because I think in some ways we were in Diggs Lane and we were all after the same thing, which was some kind of entertainment or dancing kind of thing. So I felt like when you went into Diggs Lane, people were really supportive and really nice. But there was others. I lost some friends along the way because they didn't suddenly know how to speak with me. And I didn't understand that, because I thought, well, I'm not any different. It's just that you've seen me on the telly, but they just didn't know how to talk to me anymore. Or, you know, people I used to go to school with from years before, if I walked into the same shop that I always walked in maybe 6 months before, they'd look at me and then turn their head and walk the other way. And it's like, oh, you would have stopped and talked to me 6 months ago. And then sometimes I find then people, they put that on you and they kind of think, oh yeah, she's really big headed now and all. And it's just like, I am definitely not. And I never got to that point, but you don't know how to speak to me, so you're putting it on me. Really quiet. It was definitely odd and definitely lost some friends along the way for sure.
God, that's desperate, isn't it?
Yeah. God. I don't really remember, because for me, I feel like that when we moved to the UK and then we were really busy and we were living there for years, we were just, I don't think I really noticed it that much. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Kind of
you probably were around, it was all record executives and those kind of people you're around who know how to deal with people when they're a bit famous and they don't get kind of weird about around them. Because, you know, we hear even about Little Mix and Jesse from Little Mix talking about how overwhelming the whole thing can get, and you're in this bubble and people are doing everything for you and you don't even know where you're going to be the next day because the schedule is done out for you. So it's not real life.
We talk about that in the podcast as well, just like, you know, our lives were scheduled for a whole year ahead of it. So when the rug was pulled out from underneath our feet, it was really hard to even know what we wanted to do, where we wanted to go. And I remember just feeling like a real amateur in the supermarket and thinking everyone was looking on what she putting in her trolley, simply because we never had to do that, because we were always fed. We were almost, our food was ordered for us, for goodness sakes. We didn't even get to order it ourselves. It was crazy, crazy time. Like,
and were you allowed to have relationships, or do you know the way they say boy bands, they're not supposed to have girlfriends and all this, which I'm sure they did. And I'm sure you know Adele. Shane probably had loads of girlfriends they never let on about. But
I will not tell you.
Not really. Not really in the beginning. That was kind of more, I think, from our manager's perspective, not in the beginning. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, like, we did. But there was a bit of sneaking around.
They were probably terrified of one of us turning around and being pregant or something, and then Bewitched would be
maybe.
Kind of
what
paused.
They were thinking, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I remember Sinead's like husband, so he was her boyfriend at the time, and I remember we were getting our hair done in London in the hairdressers, and he was like hiding around the corner until our manager left so he could come into the hairdressers and all. But I dealt with that really differently, because it was like, can't have a boyfriend, you can't this, you can't that, and I was like, get a grip. So I dealt with it really differently, where Sinead was really kind of really went along with it in a way, and it wasn't easy. Sinead, sure it wasn't. It was a disaster at the beginning for you.
It was a disaster.
Yeah, you had some tough times at the beginning.
It was ridiculous.
Because that's the age group you want to be having boyfriends, really, as well, isn't it? You know, that's when you're out. And then there was talk as well about Bewitched doing, you know, making a fortune doing denim ranges and kind of products.
We missed that.
What happened?
Goodness sake. Honestly, I tell you, we just didn't have the right person on our side to think outside of the box with all of that kind of stuff. And had we have done that, our range would probably be still in the shop now. I mean, we really missed the boat. We really did.
I mean, denim is exactly what you think of when you think of Bewitched.
Mm-hmm. I know, ridiculous. I'm sure we had some design boards and everything. We definitely had it going on. I just don't know what happened.
It's all a blur. No. So you talk about then in the podcast, and we mentioned about it's called Starting Over because everyone's going to be able to relate to this. There are pilots now being delivery drivers, there's bar staff working in the local supermarket. When was the rug pulled from underneath you? When did it all just kind of end? And was it very sudden?
It was sudden because we were writing our third album and we were taking quite a while to do it, because we were, after being on tour in America, we were headlining a Nickelodeon tour in America with a couple of other American bands. And then we came home and we were writing the album in Dublin. We wrote a lot of it actually with Mark and Danny from the script, because as you know, Trina, they were Diggs Lane buddies of ours. Yeah. So we grew up together and they'd gone into production. So we were writing a lot of it with the guys, and we've chosen the first single for the third album. And I remember myself and Keavy were in America with my sister, and we were simply just waiting for the phone call to say when we were going to follow the crew to Africa to make the video, because they've gone to Recce Africa to make our video. And we just got the call that the record company had decided they weren't going ahead with anything instead. And it was really out of the blue. It was like, what? What do you mean? Like,
yeah.
It was wild trying to get your head around the concept of what that even meant.
So then it was just head off home, now you're done.
Yeah. It was really like that.
Yeah, it really was. It was just like a simple kind of thing. The record company are not going to put out the record.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony to that was kind of like 6 months previous, we had kind of felt there was a shift, and we were a bit like, something's kind of not necessarily right. But what was happening was there was a lot of merging going on between the labels. And then the guy that originally had signed us, the head of A&R, he moved up to being the head of Sony. So it was kind of a combination with other people coming in. He was moving up, and they didn't necessarily have people, the right people that were going to like spend the same time that the other team had spent on us. So then we kind of felt that, but then that was all fine. And then, like Adele said, the plans were going ahead, and then bang, it was just cut. And like that, what you mentioned about like not being able to, it's not like you can go and, oh, I'll jump into that girl band now. And like footballers, you know, the way they kind of go.
Yeah.
I'm Chelsea, now I'll go play at Man United. You know what I mean? It's kind of, what do you do? And like you say, it's really confusing.
She did try and get into the Spice Girls at a point. Victoria.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Whose dog is barking in the background there?
I'm so sorry, it's mine. And well, the thing is, like, you know, the West Wing is getting redone, so I can't go over there for the interview.
Oh, God. So the dog normally has her own mansion, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw something really funny during the week, girls. Oh, God. You know this whole Piers Morgan debate thing that's going on, and he had the big row with the weatherman, and then he quit the show.
Yeah.
Did you see the memes? Bewitched, blame it on the weatherman.
Blame it on the weatherman, yes.
I didn't see that.
Oh,
no, we didn't, but I didn't see it.
Yeah. See, I saw Twitter go mad, and I was just like, what's it all about? And then I just saw a clip on the weatherman Alex thing, and then Pierce. But then it wasn't until the next morning I realised, oh, he actually had walked off and he'd left the show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I get it now. But I was a bit late to the party.
Blame it on the weatherman. Who was it that dated Brian Ormond? Was it you, Adele, or your sister?
Brian, so neither of us dated Brian, actually.
No.
Brian and I.
Brother.
Brian had a thing for me at a point, and I had a thing for him at a point, but it never was at the same point. And then Keavy dated David.
Ah, that's what I remember. I remember from the 90s, there was some connection there, but it was the brother, was it? Ah, very good.
David, yeah.
So there was going to be a flirtation there, but nothing ever actually happened.
From my memory, now Brian might say she's mad, I never liked her at any point, but my memory serves me that he liked me when I didn't like him, I liked him when he didn't like me, so it just didn't make sense.
You're probably, what, 16 or 17?
Yeah.
Probably younger,
Teenage heartbreak. How is Keavy doing with her twins? I cannot believe that a twin has had twins. Is that a thing that happens?
Trina, it's mad.
And no, it's so exciting. It's so nice. She's doing well. She's knackered tires. She's run off her feet feeding them. And her eldest is only just gone 3 in February as well.
Oh,
so she is in true baby land. But she's doing amazing. She's such a natural. And she absolutely adores them. And I have to say, they're really, really good. I've obviously not spent a huge amount of time with them because we've been in lockdown. So it's been a bit of a crappy year in that respect. But they are very, very good babies. So she's quite lucky. If she could just get them feeding and crying at the same time, that would be easier.
Yeah.
She must have such sympathy for your mom now, you know, raring twins. I mean, how on earth? I always think, how do people cope, particularly when they're newborn?
Oh, I know.
Like, it's so exhausting the first few months. You feel like you're going to die from the tiredness with one baby, never mind two.
Well, we were saying that on the podcast, and it was just like, well, like, what is the sense behind having a mother so knackered tired? Keavy says in the podcast, he's like, now, when I actually get to the other side, I'm going to just say to God, what was your point with that?
We were only talking last night.
She's not
about
on all the podcasts, but she does join us for tea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fair enough, really, isn't it?
That's fair enough.
I was only saying last night how one of the first nights that my sister said she'd babysit for us, and we were planning on going out into town for a meal, and we went home and we went to sleep for four hours, and it was brilliant.
I know.
I was like, we don't need food, we just need to rest.
And we don't need to go out, we just need an early night.
And then you kind of have to lie and pretend that you went out even though you didn't. Do you know that way?
Totally. I remember one time, not long ago actually, I remember it was only like a year or two ago, somebody was minding my children and my job got finished early, and I thought, if I let them know my job is finished early, that means I have to go home. So I snuck off to the cinema by myself and said nothing.
I love this. Mammy honesty.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sinead, no. You had your dancing, it was a dancing school and acting and kind of performing arts, yeah. Wasn't it? So shut down for
That's
lockdown.
Like Star Academy, Greystone. So yeah, that we closed March and we haven't reopened. So yeah, it's just hard, isn't it? It's just really weird times. And it was just after as well, we went into the lockdown. I just finished Dancing with the Stars. So I had all this dance kind of thing in my head. I was, myself and Ryan Andrews were going to compete in the competition. I think it's called the Emerald thing or something. And we had all these plans.
Well, oh, I didn't know that.
But
that
it's like an amateur / professional.
I love
it,
yeah.
And myself and Ryan Andrews were just slagging each other going, we're going to be partners. We're going to like do loads of training and stuff like that because we just adored it.
Yeah,
but
good.
Yeah. But
when you were in studio, Sinead, though, I remember you could barely walk. Your hips were killing you.
Yeah, I came into it. I know. Gosh. Yes, that was probably the week before I actually left. But yeah, I used to do that. I couldn't walk. I'd sit down and I was like, I can't move.
You were like a little old lady going, "Will I get her a Zimmer frame to help her come in?"
Yeah. I know.
So this podcast sounds great. It sounds like you're really sharing everything. Can I ask you what was the lowest point for you that you kind of are going to cover or you have covered in the podcast?
I think for me, there was when I spoke about the financial loss bit for me, because I would have had a few properties in my name and I was pregnant on my second child and I couldn't see a way out. And I remember having this thought in my head, saying to myself, well, if I die, then this will be okay, because that means my kid, well, you know, my husband and my other kid could have a place to live. Mm. And it was really, really low and it was really hard. But I had loads of friends at that time that were going through a similar feeling, like they're thinking that everything's going to get taken off them. It's really difficult. So, that was probably one of my lowest ones. You know, so yeah, it's just like I said, the whole country was going through it at that time as well, you know. So, and like that, you know, now with this particular lockdown and everything that's happened, there's so many people that are finding themselves in situations like that and going, how do we start over? How do we get, you know, back on our feet? How do we get through this? And especially with the entertainment industry, I was listening to the guy, Panty Blitton, it's just like every day the mortgage people are on ringing, saying, you know, looking for the mortgage. And it's just like, I haven't worked in a year.
I saw that.
Which really what inspired us for the whole thing. Yeah. The whole idea for this podcast came from that whole financial thing, because everybody, well, not everybody, there's a lot of people in that similar position where they're going to have to start over again and figure out how they actually claw it all back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, like, I'm so lucky to still have my job. I've been working from home for the last year. I'm in my attic right now. I'm able to do my show from the attic. You know, advertising revenue is way down in radio stations too. So, you know, all the businesses that would advertise with us, the hotels, all these restaurants, everything. Yeah. And it's a scary time, even though we're still in business. It's a scary time. I kind of feel like what you mentioned, if I wasn't doing this, I don't know what I'd be doing, because as Adele probably remembers me knocking around Diggs Lane as a 15-year-old with a tape recorder trying to interview people, and here I am.
Oh,
you know
that.
So
isn't
it's
that
kind
brilliant
of,
like so you weren't going to be a dancer, so it's good for us.
Just wondering about were there refunds available? But what about you for yourself, Adele? Was it the marriage breakdown, was that the toughest point for you?
Oh gosh, yeah, without a doubt. I suppose my journey and all that kind of marriage struggles to the breakdown to becoming a single mom, it kind of probably goes over a couple of podcasts for me. It sort of, the journey begins at a very different time and it lasted so long, it goes throughout. Very tough.
Are you dating again or will you?
Am I dating again and will I? So at the moment I'm not. I did go out with one other man since my marriage breakdown, which to be honest is quite a while ago now. I mean, my youngest is 9 and my marriage, we split up when she was about 2 and it started to break down kind of a bit before that. But I've dated one man on and off for a couple of years and we just couldn't find our feet with it properly. I would be up for it, but I it's really crazy to me, having been through a marriage like that. I mean, I was 10 years with Michael and 3 children and a lot of heartache out the other side. I don't know how people jump in and out of relationships so quickly and so easily, but for me, I needed to find me again. I mean, I totally lost myself, had no idea who I was. And I gave myself completely to him and everything who he was, which was totally the wrong thing to do. But it took me a very long time to claw that back. And I just wanted me. And I'm still sort of, I think I probably know who I am now and I found myself, but it took me a very, very long time to do it.
This reminds me of Louise Redknapp and what she's been talking about recently, how when she did Strictly and she realised, you know, she'd kind of been in Jamie's shadow for a long time and she was the mammy to the two kids at home. And even though she was, like yourself, a very successful pop star in the band Eternal, and of course your brother was married to her bandmate for a while there as well. And you know, she kind of found herself when she went on that dancing show, and that's kind of when things went wrong for her. But, you know, she's been talking about a lot recently how she found herself, she became herself again. But I think now she's kind of wondering, you know, was it the right thing for her to let the marriage go? But I know your circumstance is totally different, but it's very hard, isn't it? It's very hard. And as well, I guess it's very hard when you've got children as well, knowing what the right thing to do is. And then also, if you do introduce a new person into your life, you want that to be somebody that's not going to be coming and going.
And Trina, and that's it. And that's the hardest thing for me, because I'm like, you know, if/when I introduce somebody into my life, I introduce them into their life as well. So before children, it's only yourself and the other person. But when you have children, then when you break up with them, well, you break up with the children as well. So it makes it harder on everyone. I did struggle with that element of it too, because the children loved the man that I saw. Still love them now, actually, to be honest, because we're best friends now, which is amazing. So he stayed in our lives, but it was difficult at first. And of course, because he almost takes over that father position, the man that actually comes in. So they kind of lose that all over again. It's just really, really tough.
Well, look, I think you're great women. You're doing it all and raising families as well. And it's, look, it's, I know it's tough. And also the fact this bloody lockdown, I mean, when is it going to be over? When are we going to get some sort of normality? Just to go for a cup of coffee would be magic, wouldn't it?
Well, because we have, we've got some gigs starting to kind of book in here in the UK, but Sinead can't come because she's got to go. She's got a quarantine for 2 weeks on either side or whatever. So it's just not going to work. It doesn't make sense.
Have you anybody over there that can put a Sinead wig on and be Sinead?
My little sister Naomi probably.
I forgot about your little sister was an amazing dancer too, wasn't she?
She was an incredible dancer. So much better than we ever were, actually. Absolutely amazing.
She's incredible.
How old is Naomi now?
Oh Lord, 35,
shut
maybe, up
34. Stop it.
Yeah, she is 35. She's got two kids now as well.
I feel like a granny. I shouldn't have you on the show. This is just, it brings me back to the 90s when I was young and now I'm 40.
Makes you feel old. Listen, you talk to us long enough, it's like another podcast. You could actually make a series out of this.
I know. Do you want me to be the next person on? Listen girls, I'll let you go. The best of luck with this podcast. Where can we find that? Is that going to be on all the usual places?
Yeah, all the usual podcast platforms, whatever works well with your phone or your tablet, whatever you're listening from. You'll see us there.
Okay.
And the Instagram is Bewitched Official, and Twitter's Bewitched Reunion. So you'll see it kind of all over the place, and we'll be sharing it on our own bits and pieces as well. So we'd love people to kind of get in touch and, you know, share their stories and
brilliant,
you know, and I hope they enjoy it.
I think people love honesty, and you've certainly been very honest today, so we'll expect more from that on your podcast called Starting Over. Bewitched, Sinead and Adele, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us. It was so nice talking to you.
Talk to you soon. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.